Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And today, we're going to be speaking with Steve Hazel, the co-founder and chief technology officer at Sauce Labs, as we talk about how to create and maintain reliable automated tests. Also, Steve reveals some big changes going on at Sauce, so make sure you listen to the whole interview. But first, before we get into it, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. Hey, Steve, welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, happy to be here.
So it's great to finally have you on the show. Before we get into it, though, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I'm the CTO and co-founder here at Sauce Labs.
So how did you get involved with Sauce Labs?
In 2008, my background is in peer-to-peer, and I thought that there were some interesting connections between the technology behind peer-to-peer and cloud computing, which in 2008 was very relevant. So I was working on starting a cloud computing company of some kind, and I was looking for co-founders. And my Sauce Labs co-founders, meanwhile, were trying to build a company around Selenium, and they thought that cloud service would be the right approach. And they found me and talked me into a cup of coffee, and it was all downhill from there.
Cool, because it seems like you're a hardcore developer. You've worked on Audio Galaxy, Foldershare, BitTorrent, you know, all these really, like you said, I guess, cloud-based services almost. So that's basically what made you want to join Sauce Labs, is the cloud-based technology that they were starting to create?
Well, it was a couple of things. Yeah, I would say that the underlying technology is in a space that I know well and, you know, fit really well with my personal technical background. I'm also just, you know, as a software developer, I think there's a nice sympathy with the end user's problems for a service that's aimed at making software development work better. So that was really appealing to me as a space to get into.
Awesome. So being the CTO, how do you research technology, or how do you stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, staying in lots of conversations, always listening to what's going on, trying to reach out and meet people and network just to stay in touch with people who are doing interesting things.
So is there anything you see coming up in the next few years you think developers and testers are going to need to start getting their heads around?
You know, I think maybe the big trend that I see coming from a technology point of view is related to virtualization and containerization, right? Everything is getting, or the tools around isolating code environments and really fully specifying them are getting stronger and stronger. And I think that's going to be an ongoing trend. So, you know, Docker containers for sure are really relevant to testing and software development generally. I think we're also going to see better techniques related to mocking and service virtualization, anything that's about isolating a piece of code from its surrounding environment and really getting complete control of the environment around that code. There's just a lot of exciting, interesting things going on right now.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about containers and microservices have been coming up a lot, so I definitely agree with you. Uh-huh. Now, I spoke with your CEO a few weeks ago, and it sounds like Sauce Labs has been growing a lot in the past few years, and to me, I think it's going to grow even more. How do you plan for that as a CTO?
Yeah, and you know, the big challenge with growing an organization is that communication gets harder and harder. Mm. And so, you know, I'm always trying to stay ahead of it. I think it's important to think about, you know, not just what are our problems now and how do we do a better job and move faster, but also how is this going to get harder when we double the size of this team? And, you know, the people working on project A maybe don't even have all that much interaction with the people working on project B. So I think it's really, I don't think there's any silver bullet, but constantly looking at what are the communication challenges and how can we address them and trying to think ahead is the best I know how to do.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. I work for a very big company and there's groups all over the globe and it's very hard to keep everyone on track. So just growing and managing all that seems like it's a challenge in itself.
Yeah. I think the other thing I would say is that everything's made much easier if you have a really strong team. So as we're hiring, just being as, not just as picky as we can be about who we add to the team, but also just as thorough as we can be to make sure that we understand, you know, what the skill sets we need are and whether the people that we're interviewing are going to be great at those things that we really need.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So I'm not sure how much in the weeds you get nowadays, but I don't know. The whole premise of running your tests against all these different configurations that Sauce Labs offers, the premise is your tests aren't going to be flaky. So do you know, based on your experience with all these tests that have been running in your environment, what the common traits are for tests that have been the most reliable or any anti-patterns you see for tests that end up being flaky when they run in Sauce Labs environment?
Yeah, there's a few big issues I would point to. One is just being aware of timing issues and using retries. So, you know, if you're looking for an element to appear on the page, you want the standard pattern in your test code to be to wait for the element to appear and not to assume that it's going to be there by the time your test gets to needing it. And if that's the standard pattern, every time you look for an element on the page or every time you look for an element in your mobile app, you wind up with much more reliable tests. Another thing I would point out is short tests seem to work out much better than longer ones. So if you have, you know, 10 features of the product that you want to test out that kind of naturally fall into one flow through the application, I would caution against sort of the temptation to organize that into a single test that kind of walks through the flow and checks out a bunch of things along the way. You know, it doesn't always make sense to split things up, but where you can, testing just one thing at a time really helps, because when something fails, you get a much quicker pinpoint to exactly what went wrong. And if there's a chance of each interaction failing, you'll see it a lot more clearly when you have all of those interactions split up into individual tests. And then the last thing I would point at as a really strong practice is to separate the idea of looking for application failures from the idea of looking for flaky tests. So what a lot of our most sophisticated customers do is rerun tests when they fail to see if they'll pass on a second or a third run. That doesn't mean you ignore the fact that the test failed. You definitely want to flag that and keep track of it, but you can track it separately from, you know, having a signal that your feature is broken. So a lot of our most sophisticated customers have reruns on test failures. If the test passes one time out of three, they'll typically pass the build and say, okay, we think the feature works, but they'll flag those tests and record them and keep track over time of flaky tests and devote engineering energy to fixing them. Because if you don't fix them, the problem just gets worse and then you find that you're running tests four or five times. But there's a really powerful dynamic there, right? You imagine if a test fails one time out of 10, so you've got a 10% failure rate, one in 10 builds is failing because of this flaky test, that, you know, get a few tests in there that have that kind of problem, and it really quickly adds up to a very unreliable build. But if you rerun that test that fails one in 10 times, now one in 10 times it gets a rerun and it fails one in 10 of those times, and now you're looking at a one in 100 failure rate. You rerun it three times, you're looking at a one in 1,000 failure rate. So you get this exponential improvement in reliability for, you know, linear additional number of times that you run the test.
That is great advice. It's actually something I'm struggling with now with my team. And for some reason, it just doesn't seem right to rerun it. But if you rerun it and it works, then it's most likely not an application issue. It's most likely something with the script. So I guess you need to balance risk compared to benefits almost.
Right. And you know, it can be that the application itself is flaky. It's not the test, right?
Yep.
So you may be hiding those things from yourself. But I think that, you know, what we've seen is that it's very effective to separate out those kinds of issues from just plain this test is failing and this this function is broken, and handle them in a different track.
Right. Absolutely. So the functionality of being able to rerun on failure, is that a Sauce Labs option, or is that something someone would configure within their CI environments?
Oh, that's something a customer would configure in their CI environment.
Okay. You mentioned earlier how down the road you're going to probably be investing more in mobile testing. So when you say that, is that Appium that you're talking about? You're investing more in Appium or maybe some other technology that's not yet announced?
I mean, we certainly are investing more in Appium. I would say more broadly than that, we're investing in making our service, very capable and serving the needs of customers who are doing a lot of mobile testing. Appium is, our open source framework for mobile automation, and we think it's going quite well. We're very proud of the success that Appium's had and its increasing level of visibility and exposure and the number of companies that are relying on it. So, we're certainly continuing to invest in making it a success.
Awesome. So is there any functionality in Sauce Labs that you think most people aren't aware of?
Functionality in Sauce Labs that most people aren't aware of?
Yeah, maybe some hidden gem that someone didn't know. Oh, I didn't know I could do that in Sauce Labs. Or
yeah, well, one thing I like that maybe not all of our customers know about is the ability to breakpoint a test. And breakpoint is maybe not exactly the right word to use here, but what the feature does is allows you to drop a command in your test that essentially stops the automated test and hands over, like hangs the test and allows manual control. And so this is a really great way to diagnose failures. If you've got a test that's failing and you're not sure what's going on in the browser, you can drop in a command right at the point where it's failing, sort of like a breakpoint in code, although you actually need to either abort the test or have it just sit and wait. But you can send a command to the Sauce Lab side that will enable manual control of the test. And then you go into a manual session, you can poke around in the browser or on the mobile emulator to find out what's going wrong in your app.
See, I didn't know that. And that's awesome because I can definitely see a lot of reasons why you would want to do that, especially when you're debugging things where, rather than just watching it, just put a breakpoint and then okay, are you able to step through it at that point?
No, we don't have functionality, unfortunately, to step through the code side of the test. So you really just kind of get to interrupt it at a opportune moment.
Actually, is cool about Sauce Labs, though, is even if you don't use a breakpoint, you automatically capture a video recording. So that does make it a lot easier than just watching it, hoping you...
Yeah, absolutely. Although for me, I actually find the video sometimes is key and there can be info in there that is just... there's no other way to get it. But for me, I really like our screenshots. We sort of capture a screenshot at every command that's likely to change the user interface. And you can actually use keyboard commands to flip through the screenshots. So I find when I'm diagnosing a test, I'll go straight to the keyboard and flip through screenshots to watch kind of in fast motion all of the major changes to the interface to catch up with, okay, here's where we are where the failure happens.
That's kind of cool. Can you export that to a Word doc? It could almost be like user training document. Yeah, just step through this.
Yeah, I think that would be a cool feature. We don't have anything like that. You can download logs of all the commands, but there's nothing that kind of combines the commands and the screenshots that's exportable. Okay. It's a good idea.
Like I said, you've been a hardcore developer for a long time. Are there any principles that you've carried along with all your different positions that you found helpful that you think other developers should practice or testers?
Honestly, I think a lot of what I used to think of as my, secret smart ideas for software development are pretty well known now. One of those is the idea of continuous integration, which actually maybe not every team does this in the way that I think gets the most value out of it. I think it's really when you're planning to build something, you can break it up into components and build each component and then bring them all together. Or you can build something that works end to end with sort of a miniature version of each component from the beginning. And even when teams have a build and are regularly coordinating around a shared build, they're not always really doing what I would call continuous integration, which is that idea of dividing up your project in a different way so that you have something basic working end to end very early on, and then you're sort of improving on its functionality. I think having an end to end usable thing that actually can be deployed, actually can go through all the be wired up to all the production systems, go through all the steps and stages, that it's going to need to eventually and work together with all the components that are going to need to be there eventually. Having something like that from the very beginning is just this amazing way to ferret out hidden problems, to figure out whether you really understand how much work there is left to do. And I think teams that do that just understand their own schedule a lot better than teams that don't.
Awesome. I definitely agree with this also. We have teams, 8 Scrum teams. They all have their own dev branch. They do their development there. And then every 2 weeks, they merge it up to Int. And it's always a nightmare to do that. So,
I fight hard against branches. You know, branches are great for making a nice readable, you know, commit history.
Yep.
And they're great if you use them sparingly. But my opinion is, you know, I go for feature flags over branches wherever possible. I try to have things merged and deployable, even if they're not done, just to keep things continuously integrated and merged together. I think it's a great safety check that you understand what everybody on your team is doing and you're not duplicating work or doing work that collides with what somebody else is doing.
Awesome. So as more and more people are checking into Ant more frequently, you need your test to run quickly. So do you have any tips for any maybe CI tagging strategies you think that maybe you would tag something as fast so all your fast tests would run first or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, we see different teams do this different ways. I think doing something along those lines is definitely a good idea. You want to have kind of a quick check and a more thorough check. Although, of course, you try to get your most thorough check to go as fast as possible as well.
So are there any books or resources you would recommend to a tester who's trying to learn how to code? Because what I find is a lot of testers are being thrust, you know, more into the developer role. A lot of companies are shifting left, so they really need to know how to develop. So any resources or books you would recommend to them?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that trend is significant and real. I think testers ought to be working on their coding skills. I think it's a good career move. And it's, you know, the world is hungry for people who both understand the quality perspective and have some engineering and coding skills. As far as how to go about learning those things, you know, I think start with a language that's not going to be too hard. I think Python and Ruby are both good starting choices, and I would say that Java and JavaScript probably are not good beginner languages. And you know, you just start with the usual beginner materials. I really like Learn Python the Hard Way as a way of just getting an intro to programming.
Great advice. So Steve, I just want to switch gears and really talk about the big change that's going on at Sauce Labs. Can you tell us all about what's new with Sauce?
Yeah, so we're releasing a major revision to our user interface. And it's really, you know, it's a refresh of the look and feel and the interaction style. But much more importantly, it's a rethink of how the user interface for our product should work. And it's organized around the idea that we fit into a continuous integration or continuous delivery workflow. Yep. So, you know, you sit down with our customers and ask them how they use Sauce Labs or to show us, you know, how they use Sauce Labs. And they will almost always pull up their CI system. So they'll pull up Jenkins or Bamboo or Travis CI, whatever it is they're using, look at some recent builds, find something that failed, and then they'll come over to the Sauce Labs interface and try to find the tests that were connected to those build failures. And so the new interface is really designed to assume that that's the workflow, that it's connected to a CI system. We're supporting and enabling continuous integration and continuous delivery. And you know, it's a reorganization of our UI around those concepts. So for example, builds are a first-class object in our UI now. So you come over from Jenkins having just looked at, you know, maybe the 5 builds that have run so far today, and you'll see the same 5 builds in the Sauce Labs interface, and you can drill in and see which tests were associated with those builds. So it's really just a very quick way, you know, to provide that same context to users that they are used to from their CI system and make it really easy to find failing tests and diagnose failures faster.
So this is Future Joe interrupting the interview. Future Joe interrupting the interview. So I actually spoke with Steve around a month ago. So this was recorded sometime in May. And this was before the UI changes were officially announced. So I didn't have all the information at the time about the change. So now that it's official, I've seen the improvements and here's my take on it. So these UI changes are really in line with most companies' CI workflows. So over the last year, you know, I've seen more and more users adapting Agile and CI, and this new UI really fits well into these Agile-like workflows that most of us are used to now. So basically, this should help you have a better overall experience when running your test in Sauce Labs. Basically, there are three new pages. So there's a dashboard, which is like a centralized hub where you get a big picture view of all your recent activities. There's also a build details, and this new UI now kind of automatically groups tests into categories like automated build, automated test, or manual test. And there's an archive page, and this has a new custom query option that allows you to filter tests. So this is a big time saver. Since I find the new UI more intuitive than the old one, and it looks pretty cool since it's more of a modern look. So you're probably going to have a smoother, snappier user experience once you log in and check out this new feature. So I'll have a link actually in the show notes at testtalks.com/56 to a Sauce Labs webinar where you'll see all the new changes with a hands-on demo. Now back to the interview with Steve. Is this functionality going to be extra charge? Is just basically everyone that already has an account with Sauce Labs will log in one day and automatically the new UI will be in place?
Yeah, we're just improving the experience for everyone. No extra charge. And it's going to be, I think we're going to go through an opt-in period where people can try the new UI. If they don't like it, they'll have the option to go back to the old one while we make sure that, you know, all the rough edges are filed off and it's really working well for everybody.
Now, I assume you guys must collect a lot of statistics or a lot of analytics in the background. How do you come up basically with improvements, or how do you schedule improvements, or what you think is going to be important? Is it through analytics you're collecting, or is it just directly speaking with the customer, which it seems like you guys do a lot of?
It's both. But I would say for us, we've found that we get just a much higher bandwidth, you know, flow of information by talking directly with customers, watching them use the product, and listening to what they have to say about it. You can do a lot with analytics, and I actually come from more of a consumer service background where metrics and analytics are the whole game. And you really just, you know, you measure every little interaction, including the effects of the colors and positions of buttons, and you can get really meaningful improvements that way. When you're serving a business audience, you know, it's a smaller size user base with a lot more riding on your service. And, you know, I've found through the experience building Sauce Labs that, you know, it really just the most efficient thing is to sit down next to your customer and ask them what's difficult, what's working well, and how do they use the product.
Awesome. Going forward, can you reveal any part of your roadmap or where you see maybe Sauce Labs in the next year after this rollout? Is there any other major rollouts you guys are planning or anything you could give a hint to what you might be investing in?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming up. I can say that we're definitely focused on expanding our capabilities in mobile testing. That's a big focus for us. And we're thinking more broadly about the problem of how to help our customers ship high-quality software faster and more reliably. And really anything we can do to contribute to making that work well is something we're interested in looking at.
Okay, Steve, before we go, is there one piece of actual advice you can give someone to improve their Sauce Labs testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
I would say the idea we talked about, rerunning tests on failure to identify flaky tests separate from legitimate test failures, is one of the best pieces of advice I know. I would also say, you know, parallelization. If you're using Sauce Labs, the real power of the service is that you can run many tests concurrently and get through your build faster. Faster builds make for more efficient teams, and it really pays off. And then to get in contact with me, I'm sah@saucelabs.com, and I'm S.A. Hazel.
Thank you, Steve, for your Sauce Labs automation awesomeness. For links of everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to www.testtalks.com/56. And while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link under the exclusive sponsor section to learn about all of Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And if you have a second, I would really dig it if you left a review or rating for Test Talks within iTunes. Talk about reviews, I just want to give a quick shout out to the latest review by QA analyst IBM Wyman. He writes, "I love this podcast. Since I started in QA about a year ago, I found that there is a ton of stuff out there for developers and even a good amount of information for QA, but not too much on automation testing. Super happy to have these to listen to. I really appreciate this type of feedback. This is exactly why I started Test Talks. So it's great to get some validation from these reviews. So thank you. Thank you, IBM Y-Man. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.